Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
It's interesting that here in the Gospel of Luke, immediately following the Lord's marvelous training of his disciples, not just merely in how to pray, but how to pray themselves into God, he finds himself in a conflict with demons and dealing with mass rejection. Here we are in the life study of Luke once again, and Bob Danker has joined us for fellowship on a very interesting chapter, chapter 11. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Chris, this chapter is truly interesting, and it's all related to the Lord as the man's Savior with his divine attributes and his human virtues for the highest standard of morality to bring all of his believers into the New Testament Jubilee, which releases them from all kinds of bondage and brings them into the enjoyment of God. I think we will see this in the broadcast today.
Bob, there are several cases in chapter 11. As we mentioned, it begins with this well-known passage, the Lord's Prayer, so-called, really a marvelous pattern and a training on how to pray, not just to get our prayers answered, but to pray ourselves into God. We saw this in our last program, and I'd like you to spend a few minutes, because it does relate to what we're going to see today, but spend a few minutes to review this matter, because it was too marvelous to see it in our last program.
Yes, as we review this, what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, after the Lord's disciples asked him to teach them to pray, then the Lord prayed this familiar prayer as a kind of a pattern. It doesn't mean that we have to repeat it verbatim, but the elements of this prayer are a marvelous pattern for our prayer. And we find that when we pray in this kind of way, for God's name, the Father's name to be glorified or sanctified, and the kingdom to come,
right,
God's will to be done, and then we confess our sins and our failures and ask the Lord to forgive us, and then we pray for our daily necessities. When we pray in this kind of way, putting the Lord first and his need before our needs, we find out that this kind of prayer ushers us into God himself. We get out of all the earthly realms, and we enter into God. And this is vital for our enjoyment of the New Testament Jubilee, because the Jubilee releases us from everything that binds us and hinders us and brings us into the enjoyment of God. Most of the time in our daily living, we are not in God, but the way for us to enter into God and to be released from all kinds of bondage is to pray. To pray according to the pattern that the Lord showed us, then we will surely find ourselves in God, and then we will enjoy the riches that are in God. Especially we will enjoy receiving the Holy Spirit and all the rich life supply that is related to this wonderful all-inclusive Spirit.
Bob, that is the positive side of praying ourselves into God. We are now in this realm where we receive him as the rich life supply. And Ed Marks was here in our last program, and he got quite excited over the loaves and the fish and the egg and all that that represents. But there's a negative reaction as well, and that's what we are going to see in this first segment today. The very next thing that happens in chapter 11 after this lesson on prayer, the Lord is confronted with demons, and now there is a reaction in the demonic realm. A lot of rebellion is expressed, and even an interesting dialogue between the Lord and the Pharisees over this matter of demons and Satan and that whole satanic kingdom. Let's look at these verses. I'm going to touch 3 segments here, jumping a little bit through chapter 11. First, at verse 14, it says, "And once he was casting out a demon, and it was dumb. And when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, 'By Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons, he casts out the demons.' And others, tempting him, sought from him a sign out of heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself becomes desolate, and a house divided against a house falls. And now moving on to verse 21. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his own homestead, his possessions are in peace. But one stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him. He takes away his whole armor in which he had trusted and distributes his spoil. And now we jump again to verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in the cellar or under the bushel, but on the lampstand, in order that those who enter in may see the light. So, Bob, we have a demonic reaction, we have the binding of the strong man, and we have the light, all coming together now in this very interesting passage in chapter 11. Let's go to Witness Lee.
In this section, you could see the rejection of this evil generation. You could see all the demonic, devilish things. The first section is wonderful. To pray into God and remain in Him to receive all the life supplies. That is the riches of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, you have to realize that demons are here. There is a kind of fighting, a kind of war going on all the time. So this man-savior does not only teach us how to pray ourselves into God, but also, you see, he is doing a work to cast out demons. Don't forget, when you are enjoying the riches of God, you would find out that you are all the time in a situation full of demons. These demons are just obstacles, the hindrances of today's New Testament Jubilee. The New Testament Jubilee is to set people free from the oppression of the demons. But still, the demons are here. Not only so, even so many human beings are cooperating with the demons. They are used by Satan to damage the New Testament Jubilee. But you have to realize by praying, you enter into God, and you remain God, and you receive all the life supply from God, then I tell you, you are one with these man-savior. You are one with him. He's stronger than the strong man, and you are one with him, and you are stronger than the strong man. Surely you are able to cast out demons, to deal with the unclean spirits. You must be filled up with the Holy Spirit, with all the riches of the triune God, leaving no space for anything else to come in to take you over. Then you will be a person altogether under light. You will be a person full of light, light within and light without.
Well, Bob, we're covering a tremendous amount of territory here, but I think if we relate this to our own experience, then it is not so difficult. After we have entered into a realm where we begin to enjoy God and His riches, all manner of obstacles and frustrations spring up, don't they, to frustrate us in this enjoyment?
That's right, Chris. God's intention is to bring us all into the New Testament Jubilee, where we are free from all kinds of oppression and frustrations, and to bring us into the full enjoyment of God. But on the other side, there is an enemy, Satan. And working together with Satan to damage the New Testament Jubilee are these evil spirits, which are presented in the New Testament as the demons. These demons work on fallen human beings to occupy and possess them, to oppress them, and keep them from enjoying the Jubilee.
Right.
So as we ourselves are praying ourselves into God, remaining in God, and enjoying the riches that are in God, we will surely encounter this kind of obstacle and this kind of frustration from these evil spirits. We will encounter it in our work to spread the Jubilee to others so that they can enjoy the Jubilee.
Right.
And the Lord was, in this case, that was his experience, right? Wherever he went to spread the New Testament Jubilee, he had to cast out these evil workers, these frustrators who attempt to occupy man. I really appreciate what Witness Lee said here. What is the way for us not to be troubled by these evil ones? Well, the best way for us to be freed and released from any frustrations from these evil spirits is simply to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I really appreciate this. This matter of praying ourselves into God, remaining in God, and then just enjoying and receiving and being filled with all the riches of the Holy Spirit, eventually there's no room within us for anything else to come in to occupy us and to oppress us. So the real Jubilee, the real, you might say, overcoming of all the obstacles is in our praying ourselves into God and enjoying the riches of the Holy Spirit. It's not necessarily some miraculous occurrence where we cast out demons in a miraculous way. The best way for us is to be filled with the Spirit. Once we are filled with the riches of the triune God, there's no room, no space for anything else to come in. So I feel this is a tremendously practical word here to help us to escape all the hindrances and obstacles to our enjoyment of the Jubilee. We want to enjoy the Jubilee to the fullest, but there are these frustrators that we need to overcome.
Bob, I don't think it's possible to overemphasize how critical this can be. Rather than engaging in some sort of, not that there isn't a place for the spiritual warfare, surely there is, but really the key is for us to be filled with him and filled with this stronger one. It both overcomes the enemy because he is the stronger one, and it creates a situation where there's just no room for these frustrations to occupy us. So this is really a key to our going on, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. I appreciate what you pointed out here, that we need to be one with Christ, who is stronger than the evil one. Then we will be free from his frustration and hindering influence.
Well, the next frustration to frustrate the Lord in his spreading of the Jubilee here is found in verse 37. As this is going on, it says, "Now as he spoke, a Pharisee asked him to have the morning meal with him. And he went in and reclined at table. But the Pharisee, seeing it, marveled that he had not first washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, 'Again, you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but your inside is full of extortion and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?'" A marvelously insightful encounter here between a religious man and the Lord Jesus. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The record goes on to tell us another case. Jesus was invited by a Pharisee to eat. And he went to eat, and he didn't wash his hands. And that bothered this legal Pharisee. Then that afforded a good chance to the Lord to unveil something to the Pharisee. The Lord said, "Okay, you wash your hand, but how about your heart? Your heart is not clean. Your heart is filled with robbery, greediness. You have to wash that part." Then she went on to rebuke the Pharisees, the lawyers, the scribes, that they all are hypocrites. They decorate the tomb, making the tomb so nice in looking. Yet, what is underneath the tomb? Dead bones. They just decorate their outward by washing hand, but within them, what was there? Death. They are surely hypocrites. Let me say this. If you would put all the points together, this will produce the high standard of morality. Here's a person praying himself into God and remaining God, and he is full of the triune God, leaving no space for the demons, for Satan, for the devil. and he's filled with light, he's full of light, and he's genuine. He's not only clean outside, but he's clean inside, and his heart is pure. And then eventually, Christ is today's Jonah, who went through death and entered into resurrection. Then eventually this one becomes today's Solomon, speaking the wisdom of God. And what is the wisdom of God? That is all the mysteries of the hidden things of God.
Bob, he spoke at the end here about being greater than Jonah, being greater than Solomon. We're going to hold that for our final segment. I want to come back to this matter of what we see by this encounter between the Lord Jesus, who really is the one that has prayed himself into God and has freed himself from all of the frustrations and obstacles, and the contrast now with this religious one who's so concerned about the outward things, the washing of the hands. Develop this little dialogue that we see here.
Yes, Chris, this shows a tremendous contrast between the Lord Jesus as the one who prayed himself into God and remained in God and received all the rich supplies from God and enjoyed the fullness of the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of the triune God, and in him there was no room for anything demonic, anything satanic, anything devilish at all. And he was not only clean outwardly, but he was clean inwardly.
Right.
The Lord had no outward appearance. What he was outwardly, he was inwardly. And this is a tremendous thing. And he was full of light. In him there was no darkness at all. He was shining there with light. This is a tremendous contrast between him and these hypocritical religious people who did many things outwardly. They cleansed their cup. They washed their hands. They washed their dishes, all the outward things. But in their own hearts, they were full of extortion and all kinds of wicked things. Certainly, God is more concerned for what is within us than he is for the outward things. But these hypocrites were altogether in an outward realm and didn't care anything for their inward being. And this shows us the shortage of religion. Religion is just this way. It is altogether outward with no inward reality. And what we have here is a contrast. Christ is full of inward reality and not at all occupied with mere outward observances. It's a tremendous thing. When we enjoy the Lord, we become the same as he is. When we experience this wonderful one living in us, we become the same as this one is.
Bob, this was pointed out in a message the other day, but it's worth underscoring again. Many people reject the Lord Jesus because they confuse him or they mistake him for the religion that they have been confronted with, which is always full of hypocrisy. And people that hate hypocrisy, when they make that error of associating that with the Lord Jesus, that is the real ultimate tragedy, isn't it?
It's a tremendous tragedy. If they could read the account of the Lord's life in the Gospels and they could see the genuineness and purity and reality of this wonderful God-man, they would realize there's a huge difference between him and religion.
Well, let's go on. We do want to touch this matter of the Lord revealing himself as the one who is more than Jonah and more than Solomon. Here's Witness Lee again.
Wisdom of Solomon indicates all the mysteries revealed in Paul's 14 epistles. The man Savior refers himself to two great persons, Jonah the prophet, Solomon the king. He was greater than Jonah, and he was greater than Solomon. Jonah entered into death and came out of death and entered into resurrection. And Solomon spoke the wisdom of God. And today, this resurrected Christ, in his resurrection, through the Spirit, he just speaks the wisdom of God. Through whom? Mostly through Paul. Right? The very Christ in resurrection spoke God's wisdom in Paul's 14 epistles. And what is the content of God's wisdom? That is the hidden things of God, the mysteries hidden in God through all the generations, yet revealed to us through the Apostle Paul. This is the wisdom concerning Christ with the church. And this is the wisdom concerning God's New Testament economy. Now you can see, this chapter compresses so many items to result in the highest standard of morality for us to realize Christ through death in resurrection, and now he is carrying out God's New Testament economy, which is the real Jubilee.
Bob, let's fellowship about this for the couple of minutes that we have left. The Lord Jesus refers to himself as the one as more than Jonah and more than Solomon. As the greater Solomon in resurrection, the Lord speaks the words of wisdom mostly through Paul's epistles. How about this?
Yes, Chris, before the Lord was crucified, he told his disciples that he had many things to say to them.
Right.
But he was not able to say it at that time, because the spirit of reality had not yet come. So after the Lord passed through death and entered into resurrection, that means after he became the greater Jonah, because Jonah was in the belly of the whale,
right,
or the fish, and then he came out. This is a type of Christ coming out of death in resurrection. Then it's in resurrection as the spirit of reality that the Lord spoke more words of wisdom through the apostles who wrote the epistles in the New Testament. And, of course, the main writer in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. When you read Paul's epistles, you really read the words of the highest wisdom. These words are mainly concerning Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. The things that Paul wrote about were mysteries that had been hidden in God from all the generations, but through the Apostle Paul were revealed to all the believers. These are the main content of the words of wisdom that the Lord speaks as the greater Solomon in his resurrection.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today. Thanks for your help, and as always, I hope you'll come back soon. We love having you in the studio with us, Bob. Well, our time is up. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.